When I say abundant generosity or mind-blowing generosity, I wonder if you can recall a time when someone was abundantly generous with you. I think of Father Don Giuseppe Berdadelli during the early days of the pandemic, when Italy was ravaged by the coronavirus, the country was short of ventilators. Father Berdadelli, 72 years old, he gave up his ventilator so a younger patient could survive. Father Berdadelli died, and that young man survived. Mind-blowing, abundant generosity. I'm sure every one of us has at least one experience where someone has been abundantly generous with us. Today's first reading and the gospel reading both recount multiplication of loaves. And I want to reflect on the miracles of the multiplication of loaves from the lens of the abundant generosity of God. So in my 3 points today, first I would like to offer some reflection on the scripture passages, and I want to do it in some depth. In my second point and my third point, I would like to offer some practical implications for us. So let me talk about the scripture passages themselves in my first point. Folks, in the New Testament, the multiplication of loaves is the only miracle that we find in all the four Gospels. And in the Gospel of Mark, this miracle occurs twice. This underscores the centrality and the importance of the miracle. However, if you were hearing today's readings, we realize that Jesus was not the first to multiply loaves. Today's first reading tells us that an almost identical miracle took place when Elisha asked Baal Shalisha to give the people the 20 barley loaves he had. And the question that Baal Shalisha asked is, how can it be enough for 100 people? The same question the disciples asked Jesus. This won't be enough for everyone. But the most significant point in both the multiplication of loaves in the Old Testament and the New Testament is that in both cases there were leftovers. In the scriptures, leftovers in both these miracles mean more than leftovers literally. It is symbolic of the abundant generosity of God. There was enough for people to eat and more. That's how generous God is. Now, in all the Gospels, the accounts of the multiplication of loaves are written in Eucharistic language. So, for example, it is no accident that John begins his story of the multiplication of loaves by saying, "The Jewish feast of Passover was near." The Eucharist is the new Passover. Further, John says that Jesus took loaves, gave thanks, and gave it to them. That's very Eucharistic language. In this sense, the multiplication of the loaves prefigured the Eucharist. Or the multiplication of loaves was a sign of what was to follow, God's abundant generosity. Chronologically, though, since all the four gospel accounts are written after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Eucharistic language in the multiplication account tells us that the Eucharist was already established in the early Christian communities by the time the gospels were written. In other words, this is the point that I've been trying to make. Biblically, the multiplication of loaves and the fact that there were leftovers tells us that the Eucharist is the climax of the abundant generosity of God. So what we are celebrating here today is the climax of the abundant generosity of God. So now my second point, and I'm asking us to place ourselves in the tradition of God's abundant generosity. You see, God's abundant generosity seen in the multiplication of loaves can be traced back to the very first book of the Bible. The entire creation story in the book of Genesis is an account of God's abundant generosity. God created the universe and he gave it to the first man and woman. From then on, through Abraham and Sarah, the exodus from Egypt, the manna in the desert, the water from the rock, the proclamation of the prophets, and more importantly, God's self-revelation in all these events are to be seen as God's abundant generosity. The multiplication of loaves is a continuation of the abundant generosity of God. So in other words, there is a tradition from creation of God's abundant generosity. And today, we must place ourselves in the tradition of God's abundant generosity. In this very Eucharist, along with bread and wine, body and blood, eternity is placed before us, right? In other words, this celebration of the Eucharist is not where it all ends. No, God gives us more. God gives us eternity itself. So today, this week, I'm inviting you to engage in an exercise this week. On a piece of paper, write down everything that God has generously placed before you. And I mean write it down literally. Because sometimes we think about things and we don't recall others, or what we've written, we forget. Take a piece of paper and write down from the time that you were a child, how has God placed God's abundant generosity in front of you? Remember that John says in today's gospel reading, people ate the bread that was multiplied and the fish, and they were satisfied. I believe that if we write our blessings down, we will look at what God has given us, and we too will be satisfied. Because God's generosity is mind-blowing generosity. And thirdly, Christ-like abundant generosity. If our understanding of the miracle of the loaves, multiplication of loaves, is limited to the miracle itself, then we have lost its meaning. In other words, if this is just about the multiplication of bread, then we have lost its meaning. On the periphery, Elisha's miracle of the multiplication of loaves and Jesus's miracle of the multiplication of loaves are very similar, right? Bread was multiplied with Elisha, and bread was multiplied with Jesus. Yet, there is a decisive difference between the two miracles. Unlike Elisha's story, the account of Jesus' multiplication of loaves does not end with the multiplication of loaves. Jesus' multiplication of loaves leads to the Last Supper and then to the cross. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and gave bread and wine to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." And unlike the multiplication of loaves, the focus was not on the bread. The bread that Jesus gave at the Last Supper was actually his body and blood. And once Jesus proclaims, "This is my body and this is my blood," Jesus then completes that sacrifice on the cross. In fact, Without the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, all the previous acts of generosity lose their meaning. It's because Jesus completed the God's abundant generosity on the cross that the tradition of God's abundant generosity has eternal meaning. And so for us, placing ourselves in the tradition of God's generosity means two things. First, that we are grateful for what God has given to us. But secondly, that we follow Jesus even up to the cross. That we become the people because of whom the Eucharist continues to be alive in the world. This evening, this Eucharist is alive and present for us here. But out in the world, how does the Eucharist come alive? The Eucharist comes alive because we then live out in the world the abundant generosity of God, even up to the cross. What a privilege it is for us to be here this evening, participating in the abundant generosity of God. We have a little child, Violet Patricia, who is about to be baptized. And really, in God's great and abundant generosity, God gives new life to this child. This is an act of God's abundant generosity. This child is now set for eternity. That is true with all of us. May this Eucharist help us to be grateful to God. The Eucharist is called Thanksgiving. And having participated in the abundant generosity of God, may we then multiply loaves when we go out into the world. May we be the people who live out God's generosity out there. People of God said,